This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm curious, how many of you here remember the song by John Denver entitled Rocky Mountain High? Most everybody. I remember that song. I remember how it spoke about the wonder and beauty of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Then, several years later, in the mid-1990s, I actually had a chance to go to Denver and see the Rocky Mountains from a distance. And they were glorious. Well, today, I'm going to talk with you about two other glorious mountains, specifically Mount Hermon and Mount Zion. I will begin with Mount Hermon, which is very likely the mountain mentioned in our gospel reading, where we heard how Jesus' appearance was transfigured before his disciples. Now, our gospel begins with these words. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Now, Luke specifically mentions that this event on Mount Hermon took place 8 days after Jesus said something. Well, what is it exactly that Jesus said 8 days before this event? Listen. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Now imagine for a moment how the disciples of Jesus must have felt after hearing those words. I mean, they had seen Jesus perform many healing miracles. They had seen Jesus raise the dead. They had seen Jesus calm a storm by just speaking a word. They were now expecting Jesus to march into Jerusalem in glorious splendor and then use his almighty power to crush their Roman enemies. But instead, Jesus is here talking about suffering and dying. Now it's true, Jesus did say that he would rise from the dead on the third day, but the disciples were so depressed and distressed when they heard Jesus' words about suffering and death that they couldn't think about anything else. They were bummed out, to say the least. Now, why were they bummed out? Well, they were thinking, if they had to watch their Savior suffer and die, they would be tempted to doubt if Jesus were really in control at all. I mean, why on earth would the Son of God allow himself to suffer? Why on earth would the Son of God allow himself to be killed by his enemies? On top of that, what would become of Jesus' disciples? Would they have to suffer and die as well? Could they really trust in such a Jesus? You know, we're more like those disciples than we care to admit. I mean, we believe that Jesus is our God and Savior, but then we expect him to act accordingly, don't we? We want Jesus to use his power to give us a pleasant life. We want him to protect us from danger, suffering, and death. But can we still trust Jesus? Can we still believe that he knows what he's doing when he actually allows us to face trials and pain and death itself? You know, there are people in these pews today who are facing tough times. Maybe you're mourning the death of a loved one. Maybe your hours have been cut back at work Or worse yet, maybe you've been laid off altogether and you're wondering if you'll have enough money to pay the bills. Maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer or some other serious illness. Maybe you're having problems in your marriage, or maybe your relationship with your children is not what you want it to be. Maybe you're struggling with certain sins, and no matter how hard you try, you can never seem to get complete victory over them. On top of all that, there are many other problems in this world around us. We continue to hear about the devastation and death in the nation of Haiti. We continue to hear about our own nation's economic problems and our national debt that seems to be spiraling out of control. We continue to hear about the threat of Islamic terrorists who would like to see us all dead. And we wonder, what kind of a world will our children grow up in? As we face all of these problems and many more that I didn't even mention, we begin to wonder if Jesus really cares, or if he's even in control at all. Well, my friends, the hope that God gives us in the midst of our doubts and fears, that hope can be summed up in the message of two glorious mountains. Peter, James, and John were following Jesus up Mount Hermon. The words they heard from Jesus' mouth 8 days before, those words were still weighing heavy on their hearts and minds. Then Jesus stopped, and he began to pray. While Jesus was praying, Luke says that the three disciples became sleepy. And then something glorious happened. Luke writes, "As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem." Now, what is going on here? Well, Jesus knew that his disciples were thinking thoughts that needed to be corrected. You see, they were wondering how Jesus could be their Savior and God when he was going to allow himself to suffer and die. On top of that, they were wondering how Jesus could be their Savior and God if he would allow them to suffer and die. Apparently, they needed to be given yet another sign that Jesus is God and that he is in control even in the midst of suffering and death. So, Jesus' appearance was transfigured before them. No longer does he look like the humble carpenter from Nazareth. Now they see Jesus in all his glorious splendor as the Almighty Son of God. But on top of that, Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. Now you need to understand something. Moses and Elijah had lived hundreds of years before Peter, James, and John were even born. Now these disciples had heard about Moses and Elijah from Holy Scripture and from the messages they heard in their synagogues, but now they see them in person. It would be like one of us meeting the Apostle Paul or Martin Luther. But how could two men who should have been dead for hundreds of years now be standing with Jesus on Mount Hermon? The answer is that those who trust in God never really die. Those who trust in God do not have to fear death. God gives us the victory over death itself. But that still leads to a question. Why did Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus? Well, first, This was Jesus' way of showing his disciples that the whole Old Testament scriptures points us ahead to Jesus. Moses and Elijah, as you know, were famous characters in Old Testament history. And here they are now, standing with Jesus and talking about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Now, what does Luke mean when he says that Moses and Elijah were talking about Jesus' departure? Well, that English word departure actually translates a Greek word pronounced exodus. Does that word sound familiar? It should. The Greek word exodus is the Greek translation of the Hebrew title for the second book of the Old Testament, the book we know as Exodus. Now, in the Old Testament book of Exodus, we learn how God rescues his people from slavery in Egypt. What you need to know is that over the years, this awesome event became a symbol of an even greater future exodus that God would give his people when the promised Savior would rescue his people from the slavery of sin and death. Therefore, Moses and Elijah are talking about this new and greater exodus that Jesus will bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem when he dies on the cross to rescue his people from sin and death. You see, even though Jesus revealed himself in power and glory on Mount Hermon, according to the New Testament, Jesus' greatest power and glory was revealed in his suffering and death on the cross, which took place on another mountain, Mount Zion. If you study the Old Testament, you will find that the city of Jerusalem is right next to Mount Zion. And over the years, the entire area around Jerusalem came to be known simply as Zion. Therefore, Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross took place on Zion. On this glorious mountain, Jesus rescued us from our greatest enemies, that is, our own sin against God and the death we deserve. In our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 25, we heard about glorious Mount Zion. About 800 years before Jesus' death on the cross, Isaiah wrote these words: "On this mountain, the Lord will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. He will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. In that day they will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us.'" You know, when Jesus was being crucified on Zion, you might remember that he hung between two criminals. One of the criminals was given the faith to trust in Jesus as his glorious Savior, even while Jesus was hanging on a cross next to him. The criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "Today you will be with me in paradise." When Jesus was on Mount Hermon with his three disciples, he gave them a vision of his power and glory as the Almighty Son of God, who is in control of all things. He gave them and us this vision. Why? So that we will all know that Jesus is in control, even in the midst of suffering and death. However, Jesus' most glorious moment did not occur on Mount Hermon. Jesus' most glorious moment took place when he suffered and died on Mount Zion. For there, the love of God in all its glorious splendor shined forth as his Son Jesus suffered and died for us, that we might be forgiven and have the hope of eternal life in his kingdom. Now, Peter, James, and John didn't understand this at first. If you recall our gospel reading, they wanted to stay on Mount Hermon. They wanted to bask in Jesus' power and glory. They wanted to hang out with their heroes, Moses and Elijah. But then a cloud appeared and the Father spoke these words, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." They needed to listen to Jesus, the one who 8 days before said that he must go to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, to suffer and die for our sins. Now, Luke says that Peter, James, and John kept this experience to themselves at that time. But later on, after Jesus' death and resurrection, Peter wrote about this experience on Mount Hermon. In our reading from 2 Peter, we heard Peter himself tell us about his experience on Mount Hermon. He saw Jesus in all his glory as the Son of God. And this same Peter saw the same Jesus suffer and die on a cross. This same Peter saw Jesus alive 3 days later, victorious over death and hell. So as you struggle with various trials and difficulties, as you battle against various doubts and fears, remember the message of the two glorious mountains. Jesus is your almighty Savior and God, and this is true even in the midst of suffering and death. Now please understand, Jesus does truly care about your earthly needs and your earthly problems, and I promise you, he will provide for you as he sees best. But even more important than that, Jesus has provided for your greatest need, your need to be rescued from your many sins and the death you deserve because of them. Because of what Jesus did for you on glorious Mount Zion, you have nothing to fear. Your sins are forgiven, and you have the certain hope of eternal life in the face of death itself. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We will begin our Lenten journey with Jesus as he leads us to Good Friday, where we will behold him in all his glory on Mount Zion. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ.